Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, Sunday, April 10th, 2011. Anyhow, we're going to have a couple of nice little deals here, a nice little show things to do from the past, a little show action from the past, which are queuing up now. And give us a call at 1-800-729. Oh, there comes Dr. Bell right now.
Dr. Fred Bell, Health Science and Energy
Health Science
Show.
And Energy Show coming up.
From Laguna Beach, California, Dr. Fred Bell. Good afternoon, Dr. Bell.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, it's great.
Now, how are things in Laguna? Are you on your pyramid today?
Well, no, I'm not under one today. I'm wearing a power dome. I've been wearing it for the last few days, actually. It's
you feel
awesome
more
foggy out there.
Do you feel more powerful?
Well, I'll tell you. I noticed that right now we're starting to come into the time of year now that the smog really starts hitting us pretty hard. Looking out over Los Angeles right now, I can see lots and lots and lots of smog. And I've already begun to see the behavioral patterns of how people behave. And it strikes me, I mean, I really have to deal with it because I have three businesses that I run, and it starts striking me in the pocketbook when people can't meet deadlines by subcontractors. I have over 40 subcontractors. And this is the time of year, I mean, religiously, that they'll make promises and can't even come close to keeping them, not even knowing what they're doing, not even being aware of the fact that they aren't keeping those promises. And I think if you look at the relationships around you and the people around you, just watch and see if they don't start acting a little bit strange. Anyway, continuing on here, I'm going to be talking about nutrition today, and then I'll, of course, be gone for a week, so I guess you can play that pyramid show series over again, because a lot of people really like that.
We're going to play the best of Dr. Bell.
That'll be fun, and then I'll be back the following week, and then we'll start talking about the thing we're going to do at Disneyland. But what we've been doing is we've been talking about nutrition and the kinds of synergistic approaches that we've used in the formulation of vitamins like Excalibur. And yesterday we left off by talking a little bit about vitamin B6, which is, as we said, is a recent newcomer on the market. But as far as science has discovered, you know, science is aware of course, B6 has been around since we have. And we left off saying that it was great for hangovers and headaches and jitters and shakes and those kinds of things. The next vitamin I'd like to talk about is B12. And B12, it's, you know, B6, by the way, we said is found is probably, it's used in more body processes than any other nutrient. B12 is, on the other hand, the smallest proportions in the body with respect to all the other nutrients. Yet it is still of great importance. And the RDA, the recommended daily amount, allowance of this vitamin is only 6 micrograms, which isn't that much. But one of the chief functions of B12 is to help maintain the myelin sheath. The myelin sheath is a nerve covering that protects one nerve from touching another nerve. And as we discussed before, the axon part of the nerve, which is the part that's acting like a wire, which goes from the head to the feet, conducts electricity. And what happens is when this electricity goes through the body, it produces magnetic fields at right angles to the body. And if B12 is not there, what will happen is these electrical circuits will short-circuit, creating a short-circuited aura effect or, in worst cases, a ringing of the ears. And, of course, you know, a lot of people have had that ringing of the ears. Or even the earlier symptoms of it is when you're around and you hear a real loud noise and the ringing starts in your ear. It takes a long time for your system to recover. These are like symptoms. They're pre-symptoms of deficiencies of B12. And also, another very important function of B12 is to aid in the synthesis of nucleic acids, like RNA and DNA. And studies have shown that B12 helps convert folic acid in carbohydrate metabolism, and it's especially in converting, which is important for converting carbohydrates to fat for storage, all right? And if we don't have that, we can't metabolize fat. Now, even though we want to not be fat, the fact is, if our body does not have some amount of fat in it, we won't have bodies. So we've got to find a happy balance. Now, B12 is found in foods such as liver, raw eggs, and dairy products. Now, vegetarians oftentimes have a problem and are usually deficient in it. You know, as I said earlier, ringing of the ears is one of the first symptoms of the lack of B12. Children, by the way, B12 is found to be an important growth factor. It's also essential for the normal functions of the cells in the bone marrow and the digestive tract. Now, a deficiency of B12 results in pernicious anemia with neurological degeneration of the spinal cord, numbness, tingling, unsteady gait, loss of reflexes, mental illness, apathy, mood swings, poor memory, concentration, auditory hallucinations, confusion, paranoia, a shiny, smooth red tongue, tiredness, nervousness, and senility. So all of these are functions of the lack of B12. In Excalibur, we put about 25 to 50 micrograms in there with each dosage so that the person is assured of getting the right amount of B12. It's also a very good product for vegetarians because we're using sources that are non-dairy and non-animal. So this is a way for a vegetarian to get an adequate amount of B12. But like I said before, most vegetarians are deficient in B12, and you can often notice that in their personalities because they will be kind of standoffish or reclusive. Well, this oftentimes happens in vegetarianism. I've also seen the worst case of it where you go into what's it called, microbiotic dieting, which then leads into some basic starvation type diseases like anorexia nervosa. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about is folic acid. It's also known as folicin or folate. It was so named because it was discovered in green leafy vegetables, and I think Popeye discovered it because they found that spinach was very, it had a large amount of folic acid. And folic acid is a dietary lipotrope, just like B12, choline, and the amino acid methionine. And lipotropes work with the thymus gland to prevent infections at early stages, and in pregnant women, a folic acid deficiency can cause irreversible damage to fetuses. And I've seen problems happen with women on drugs, because what happens when they take a lot of drugs, especially, you know, younger pregnant women, they'll end up with serious degeneration or degenerative-looking children when they're born. And so folic acid is very important. It also works with B12 and vitamin C in the production of the heme part of the red blood cell. So once again, when we were talking about vitamin E the other day, folic acid is necessary because if a person is iron deficient anemia or anemic in that way and they aren't getting enough iron in their system, then they would obviously need folic acid. Because any time anemia is present in the red blood cell, the life of the red blood cell is shortened, and just putting iron in it is not going to assure that it's going to cure the problem. Now, folic acid also aids the appetite. And if you have too much of an appetite, it'll reduce it, and if you don't have enough, it'll increase it. It's also important in the production of hydrochloric acid and is necessary for the utilization of amino acids in the liver. And deficiencies in folic acid appear as anemia, poor memory, apathy, withdrawal, irritability, slow intellect, cracks in the corner of the mouth, smooth red tongue, diarrhea, and malabsorption. And any time that you have a vitamin that will leave a symptom of malabsorption, it's going to lead to weight control problems. It just about happens in everyone. The next thing that we put in Excalibur was pantothenic acid, which was discovered by an indirect associate of mine by the name of Roger J. Williams in 1933. It comes from the Greek word pantos, which means everywhere, and pantothenic acid is normally found in all cells of all living things. For this reason, it shouldn't have to be supplemented, but when you realize that we're spraying our crops with insecticides and pesticides, it becomes one of the easiest B vitamins to be destroyed. And speaking of insecticides and pesticides, I got my water bill this morning. You have to pay your utilities, Jim?
Yes. Well, actually, I don't. My landlord takes care of some of those.
Well, in our water down here in Laguna, it comes from L.A., but it's found, so they have a well here in town, and it used to have a little bit of chlorine in it.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're going to be using a new chemical, and it's a chlorodil. And what this does is it doesn't go out of the body as quick as chlorine does. And as I opened up my envelope, and this is the honest to God truth, it said, "We're improving your water, but," and then you open it up, it says, "Caution, liver diet, if you have liver problems or you're on a diastolic machine, or you have, you know, certain other types of diseases in the name, it says you better not drink this water. That's how bad our society is now.
Well, we advance towards decline, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. So, you know, the sad thing about it is that, you know, even this bottled water, there were some surveys done that 25 different water bottles, you know, sparklets and all these were tested, and none of them met their bacterial, you know, requirements. They were way off on that. So I found there's one, I don't have the name of it, but I'm probably going to incorporate it into my product line. There's a water purifier company up north that puts a machine in that goes in line with your plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And it will clean the water out of the tap better than the bottled water would be, and it has the thing in it that reverses the water back through it occasionally to clean out the bacteria. It's probably, I've looked at like a couple hundred of these things, and this is probably the only one that I've seen that would actually, I'd be safe to use. I mean, there's so many of these things. They even have EPA ratings, and they're not safe, believe me, because what happens is in those water, the charcoal-ceramic combinations, when they start building up bacteria, you know, if you have one of those things and you don't let your water run for at least about 30 seconds, you first turn on your water, you get a whole pot full of bacteria right away. So you got to understand how to use those things. This one here does not lend itself to that problem if you back flush it every 6 months.
Dr. Bell, what about boiling water?
Well, boiling water is fine, but then what happens is, number one, what are you boiling it in, okay? Most people boil it in a aluminum or copper tea kettle, so they end up getting all kinds of aluminum oxide, and you know, unless it's enamelware, and then when you do boil it and cool it, it's fine, but then the minerals are gone, so what happens is, because the body absorbs minerals by vibration, and you've lowered the vibration of the water because of the heating at 212 degrees, which destroys certain vibratory levels of water, it changes also its surface tension, it goes in the water and it starts drawing all the minerals out of your body. So you end up leaching yourself. It's fine if you're going on a two-week fast and on distilled water. That's an excellent way to go because it'll clean everything out. But then at the end of 2 weeks, you got to start putting all those minerals back in because it'll take out the bad minerals, you know, the ones that we don't want, like aluminum and things like that. But
well, I don't want to get you off on a diversion here, but
okay.
Dr. Bell, it seems to me that we've got a real problem in this country with the quality of water because so many of our soft drinks and even some of our beverages like beers are made from water. What do you do? How are you sure that you're getting what you're supposed to be getting?
Well, that's a good question, Jim. Number one, when I was a kid, I used to go to the spring and drink it there. We'd get it out of the well. I used to, you know, go down a stream, used to run along by our farm. You know, I'd drink it out of that. And I learned how to drink water, and sometimes we'd have bad water. So what you do is you have to keep your immune system up. That's the only insurance that there is having a very healthy immune system with lots of your own antibodies in there to counteract the bacteria, because we take in a tremendous amount of bacteria daily from the air, the water, and all the things we do. That's why nutrition, and that's why I'm going through this vitamin formula and all these things. And some of these, like this one, the stannic acid and the stannic acid, it talks about these are nutrients that are necessary to keep the thymus gland and the immune system up. So the only safety that I know of is keeping that immune system up. And when you start getting a scratch in the back of your throat, or you start getting a runny nose, or you start getting an attitude that you just can't get going, then you know your immune system is starting to fall down. Or sores in your mouth, you know, the canker sores that a lot of people get, that's because the immune system is dropping down. So you got to keep your immune system up.
Well, it is scary. You know, we hear reports of waste dumps that pollute our water supply and the kinds of chemicals that are in our water these days, or are potentially in our water anyway.
Oh, yeah, like in the Bay Area, they have some real problems up there now because of Silicon Valley, all those powerful chemicals that they use in those electroplating processes, those acids that they use. See, for a while before the EPA came along and they made these platers, you know, conform to dumping them in tanks and hauling them off to certain sewage areas, they just dumped them in the ground or in the drain. So all this stuff went in the ground. And, you know, it's just amazing, like how long those chemicals last. Like, you know, when they build a house, they tell you, you know, to put cement or something on the ground and then put wood. Don't put wood between the ground because you get termites up in it. Well, they have chemicals now. One of them is called chlordane. You just pour that on the ground and then put the wood directly on the ground. The chlordane will go in the ground and kill ants and termites just a chemical for up to 100 years, you know. So, you know, with these kinds of chemicals around, with these great big long half-lives, it's starting to get our second generation, you know. It may not affect some of the grown-ups, but it could do some of the kids that are born, you know. Because a pregnant mother is very, very susceptible to things because her immune system is providing for two people rather than one.
Mm-hmm.
And our immune system in most people starts to atrophy for a long time. We didn't even know what the thymus gland was. People would actually have operations and have it removed. And that's the source of one of the sources of white blood cells. So, I think, you know, we got to wake up and realize what's going on here. Continuing on with the B complex that we use, the next thing that we use is very small amounts, and I would like to use more of it, but it's probably one of the most expensive nutrients per gram or per kilo that you can buy. As a matter of fact, it's about $564 a gram. That's just a tiny bit, and it's a B complex, and it's biotin. Biotin assists in the production of fatty acids and the oxidation of fatty acids and carbohydrates. So obviously it's a free radical eliminator, and it's one of the more sought-out B vitamins that anyone that's concerned with longevity, and a lot of these Dirk Pearson followers, try to get hold of it. And so whenever we put a formula together, we have to be aware of the cost of the raw ingredients so that we can price the formula. We're not losing money. And biotin is the one that's one of the best ones you can take. Biotin aids in the utilization of proteins, fat, folic acid, pentothenic acid, and B12. Biotin also acts in the formation now of nucleic acids and the formation of glycogen. And those of you that are just tuning in, we're talking about the ingredients in our extraterrestrial formula here called Excalibur.
Now, wait a minute. Did this formula come to you through some extraterrestrial means?
Well, let me explain how the formula came to me. Okay, first of all, realize how it started. It started with a guy by the name of Paul Twitchell, who was studying under a guy by the name of Robizar Tars down in San Diego. Now, rumor has it that Robizar Tars, who lives in Tibet, is like over 500 years old. He's a leader of several spiritual movements. They're kind of quiet movements. And the formula moved up to, the company was then called Sanisu. And then the formula moved up to company up in the valley that couldn't handle it. So then Harold Keith and I, a friend of mine up in Oregon, started a company called Zenith. And Zenith had about 60% of the Excalibur formula. Well, about that time, Sunyasi got involved with it, and she began to teach me about certain things about the way herbs worked on the brain, and in other words, and how DNA worked. So with a root formula to work with and the knowledge that she gave me, it allowed me to, you know, synergize the certain ingredients like the B15, synergize in some new herbs, change some other things around, because I realized that there were certain ingredients we were putting in there that didn't have the shelf lifetime, and they were losing their nutrient pack or their punch in processing. So I can't really say that it was a direct thing that somebody dictated to me, because it wasn't, but it was a lot of the knowledge that I gained from her that allowed me to do the things in it that it does. And I'll tell you something, I really can't make any claims about it, but I have seen that formula do some basic awesome things to some very sick people in a very short period of time. I mean, it is literally awesome what that formula can do. By the way, I want to tell the audience out there, thank you for your response. My phones and the mail have been overloading here lately, and from this, so I know that there's great interest, even though there aren't that many call-ins. But anyhow, inositol is something that we use in our vitamins, and it's in the B complex. And it's very important because what it does is it helps the body produce its own lecithin. And lecithin, of course, is important because it has phosphorus in it, and it makes the brain work a lot better. Now, as a growth factor, inositol is helpful in nutrition of the brain cells, the bones, the intestines, the eyes, and hair. We use it also in the oral chelation formulas that we make, and it helps remove trapped cholesterol deposits from the arterial walls. Inositol has been reported by some researchers to have a greater power to break up fat when it is given along with another B factor, choline. And there's a big article just came out. It used to be called Health Express, a magazine now, and now the magazine is called Nutritional Consultant. And it's a good little magazine to read. There's a lot of good articles in it every month. It's a Donsbach publication out of Laurel Canyon. And in it is an article by Dirk Pearson
See, the article is called, what do they call it here? Oh, no, I don't know. Well, it's called How to Expand Your, it says Smart Pills, a Study of Intelligence-Enhancing Drugs. So what Dirk and Sandy are doing, they're talking about drugs that you can buy that are used. This is called a recreational drugs that you can buy. They use them in France, and they use them in Europe, and these are drugs that are taken. One of them they're talking about a lot is one called Diener. And Diener is a drug that what these drugs do is don't confuse them with narcotic type drugs. They don't work in that way at all. These are drugs that enhance the production of choline and the production of biotin and the production of pentothenic acid, so that you have larger amounts of acetylcholine or the different neurohormones in the brain at any given time. So they're actually making the body more efficient, and most of them. The way they work is they have a tendency to produce different forms of growth factors that cause more activity in the body. Now, what we have found, I've done experimentation with a few people that have worked with Diener and a couple of these drugs, and we have found that proper herbs, which I'll get into later, supplemented with the Excalibur is a much better way to go because, if we are going to cause more biotin to be produced in the gut, or more inositol to be produced in the gut, rather than take a drug like Diener, to enhance that. What we have found is that if we just put a small amount of friendly bacteria in the large intestine via freeze-dried Acidophilus or via some of the plants that we use. We used to use wheatgrass, but then we switched over to aloe vera. Using this method, we even get a higher production of acetylcholine in the brain than the drugs. So even though these researchers are onto the right thing, and they're very famous for they've made millions selling their books, Life Extension, they still aren't quite, I don't feel, up to what I would call state-of-the-art, because if you can do it naturally by continuing to synergize the different formulated combinations like we do, I still think we're ahead of the game, because that's the way nature does it, you know. For example, if you went out and you were to fast for 2 or 3 days, I mean, really fast, really nicely on juices, maybe get down to water, and on the fourth day, get hold of some Siberian ginseng and eat the ginseng. It's a natural root. It's not a drug. It's a natural root. It has many, many B vitamins in it. You will find that you'll have the clearest mind you've ever had in your life, because it sharpens your mind like a razor, because it brings up all of the hormonal levels in the body. Sarsaparilla, for example, is another good one to supplement with ginseng, because it has large amounts of the different hormones that are found in the sexual reproduction area, the male and female hormones.
Well, I find when I fast, I get lightheaded.
Yeah, you will. But the only reason that you're getting lightheaded is because you've got lead in your body, and the lead causes a lightheaded. It's almost like you could fall asleep, but you're wide awake type thing. That's what I've experienced. But that's lead. That's lead poisoning from automobile exhaust. That's why they're trying to go to all unleaded fuels now. They've done some studies recently on leaded gasoline, and they're trying now to make it all unleaded for all vehicles and take it completely off the market, but that's lead poisoning. Believe me, I know that.
Is that pretty common, though, to get lightheaded when you're fasting?
Now. Previous to this high pollution levels of lead in the atmosphere, I think Los Angeles releases 200 or 300 tons of lead a day into the air. You know, there's 2,000 poisons being released every day, but that's one of them. And it's very common for someone like yourself who lives in a city area to fast and have that experience. Like up in Oregon, for example, we did some fasting when I was working with a company called Zenith up there. We did fasting experiments, and you did not have a tendency to become lightheaded. You had a tendency to become more psychedelicized, meaning colors would get brighter, awareness would increase, and you would actually feel more a part of the earth. But it depends on the area that you're in. But in the city, yes, when you fast, that's why I tell people don't go directly on a fast in the beginning. Go on a juice fast first, and then possibly on the juice fast, there are certain juices. One of them is one that everybody hates, celery juice. If you've ever had that, it's terrible. And cranberry juice is another one. But don't mix your vegetable juices with your fruit juices. Fast on vegetable juices and then water, or fruit juices and then water.
What do you think of these cranberry apple mixes and these cranberry raspberry mixes? Have you seen those?
Yeah, I've taken. I use them. I like them. The cranberry is a strong detoxifier. It will help remove, that's famous for helping remove lead and cadmium from the body. See, when you go on a fast, and those of you that are really overweight, don't go on a fast unless you increase your exercise and preferably get your ketone levels running first. And get your ketone levels up. This is fat-dissolving enzymes by drinking a lot of grapefruit juice. Grapefruit juice, which you can buy, you know, in the stores already made, or you can make it yourself. Start off with something like that and then go into your fast. But the mixture of juices are fine. Where you get in trouble is when you, number one, mix vegetable juices with fruit juices. That's trouble because it takes completely different sets of enzymes in your body to break down vegetable juices versus fruit juices. So don't do that. And if you're going on a fast for the first time in your life, do it with vegetable juices. You'll be a lot more comfortable, and you'll be a lot less lightheaded because you won't release so much lead, you know, into your body. And then enhance it. And when you get the lead in there, get the vitamin C going, and then get the vitamin A going, or get some formula like Excalibur and just take lots of Excalibur. And then on the third day of the fast, if it's going to be a biggie like 5 days, be sure and do some coffee enemas.
I'd like to introduce a speaker right now because he has a very important subject for you, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Dr. Fred Bell is from Ann Arbor, Michigan, originally. He's a year older than I am, I noticed, so we won't give the date he was born. He has conducted research and experiments since he was 7 years old. And I've always wanted to meet some child proteges, and Dr. Bell is one of the first ones I've been privileged to meet. At 15, he worked with the University of Michigan on a government-sponsored atomic energy program, known as GLOW. Dr. Bell served in the U.S. Air Force and later worked with Rockwell Corporation and NASA on the Apollo and Saturn moon projects. During this time, he had the privilege of working with Dr. Wernher von Braun. He left the aerospace industry and for a time continued his education and studies with Himalayan masters. He has since returned to the holistic health movement. I know you're going to enjoy Dr. Bell, and I won't take any more of your time, and I'll turn the podium over to this wonderful person. Thank you.
Well, it's fun to be back again at NHF. Now, before we get mental, I found it's very important to get physical, right? So why doesn't everybody just stand up for a second, right?
Put your arms straight up like this.
Okay. Turn to the right. Give everybody a little massage on the shoulders. Let's get the energy going here. Okay. That's called the NHF massage. And turn around, put your arms up, and go to the other side, and give everybody on the other side a massage. Okay, does that feel better? Look how the aura feel of the room has changed. All right. Now, this is an unusual experience for me, what I'm doing today. And being an author myself, my book is called Death of Ignorance. Betty Lee Morales wrote the foreword in it. I'm critiquing another author's book to a degree because the NHF has voiced a certain concern about the drugs that are being used today under the auspices of recreational drugs. So, the book is called Life Extension. Now, it's interesting that Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw are doing some research right now, and they're real enthusiastic about it. And it's also an interesting point that we were all born in 1943, so we're the same age. These kids came out of back east, some Ivy League colleges, and so did I, University of Michigan. And I've been through this. I've tried this stuff in here. As a matter of fact, I think I started before Dirk did. And I'm honestly able to say I'm off this stuff today. But I've been on it, so I'm not speaking from a theoretical standpoint. I'm speaking from a point of experience. Now, a couple of things that are interesting little philosophies, a couple little sayings that I found about life and wisdom is, I'll just run a few sayings by you real fast. The real secret of life extension is to give life to another. Okay? The way to get well is to help someone who is sick. If you are in pain, accept it as a lesson. For tomorrow, when it is gone, its absence will be a value. Values form a platform on which to build a foundation. The foundation is a cornerstone which can hold a home. A home is for the family where no one is alone. And heaven is a lonely place if you're the only one in it. Okay? Now, I think you can read between the lines on what those phrases mean. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bounce through the book, and I'm going to bounce out of the book, and I'm going to make some comments on it, because the book is hot and cold. There's some very good things in this book. There's some very good first aid instructions in here. There's a wealth of information in here on where to go and access for further information. I mean, a lot of people today, if they knew where to get information about themselves, what libraries, what journalisms and books to read, it's all in here. There's a tremendous section in here on safety. The book is very well put together. There's a tremendous section on pollution in here that's also quite good. Now, in chapter one, it starts off about the psychology of life extension, commentary on patience and immortality. It's interesting. Now, when you start talking about immortality is, first of all, it's a feeling. And I don't care what drug you take, you don't get going with the feeling of immortality until you feel it. Okay? Now, society has a tendency to program us into ignorance. People like to project their ignorance on others to feed paranoia, and paranoia is what governmental institutions are built upon. So our hierarchy has been built out of paranoia for centuries on this planet. But there is one particular being in the world that possesses the secret of immortality that is stepped on, misguided, and misused, and abused in every way, shape, or form, typically somewhere in their life experience. Yet this being not only is a perfect judge of our characters without ever knowing us, but maybe one encounter, is still overlooked. Who am I talking about? Talking about a physical person. God is in all of us. Who am I talking about? Who has the feeling of immortality? Who should you consult to become immortalized? To teach your body good feelings, proper nutrition. Who do you see? Well, there's about four or five of these types of people in here today. They're small. We overlook them. The little mountain becomes a great mountain. The little pebble, children, exactly. The feeling is in the children. The very beginning. Chapter 3 goes into your own lifespan. We are responsible for how we behave. We owe it to ourselves to look out for ourselves. Even when you're helping another, I've seen so many holistic physicians try to help other people and not take care of themselves first. They get trapped in other people's worries, other people's concerns, and then you're of no value to someone else, let alone yourself or your family. So begin inside, internally. Now, one of the things that goes into next is on page 24. It encourages high cholesterol foods. You don't have to stop eating lots of butter, whole milk, eggs, and meat. Just take vitamin E, C, and niacin, and a large amount of antioxidants. Well, there's a caution here. Antioxidants are great, because a lot of these high-fat foods do produce free radicals. But you've got to be careful, because our body is subject to an evolution. There's a point in the time of our bodies when we need the dairy product, the mother's milk of the cow, things like that. But we evolve beyond that. We go from a yang diet to a yin diet, and then we balance accordingly. And nutrition is very important to balance this. Because, for example, today, vitamin E, the same meal that we would have today has 50 times less the amount of vitamin E that it would have had 50 years ago because of food processing. Okay? Now, at this point, I want to make a comment on desire, because you have to overcome desire before you can reach the aspiration level in consciousness and evolve. How many of you are familiar with this report right here, the Global 2000 report? This was published by the federal government. It's a doomsday report. How many of you the other day saw on the front page of the Santa Ana Register a lady with a mask over her face like a handkerchief and having trouble breathing? Today, our environment is causing a degradation in everything that we do, say, hear. We've got to become aware of the environmental causes and stresses on our body, because people are trying to cover up the feelings of bad environmental poison. There's 2 million chemicals that we're playing with today, over 2,000 in the air in any given city at any given point in time. And so everybody's going to drugs. Recreational is the guise for the word drugs, to cover up the symptoms of what's really happening. Now, to exploit upon that, the federal government says that by the year 2050, there won't be too many of us around unless we start taking care of ourselves. By the year 2000, if we're going at the rate we are right now without making any changes, we will have extincted 2 million species of animals and plants and vegetation. The report further states that we have already extincted 500,000 species of plants and vegetables on this planet. There are 24 major species of vegetation that supports human life: barley, wheat, rye, oats. These are endangered because of the chemicals, the insecticides, the insecticides that have been put on the soils. What does that do for the bugs that eat these, threaten these crops? It makes them genetically mutate and become more powerful. The report further states that the natural predators are being destroyed by the herbicides and insecticides that would normally attack the bugs that are genetically mutating and becoming all-powerful and all-consuming. Okay? So maybe there is a story. How many saw the movie on TV, The Spider? The spider's crawling around, you know. There is some madness in some of that science fiction. There's some truth in it. It's called the Global 2000 Report. You get it from the government printing office bookstore in downtown Los Angeles. Acid rain is in here. Well, yeah, I have acid fog, right? Acid rain, pH of 1.9 the other night in Newport Beach. You know what that does when you breathe? Try it sometime. Remember, your feelings are very important. What is better than a good feeling? And people overlook the first source of feelings, the air supply. Now, further on in page 40, it states that aging uses up brain neurochemicals. This can partially be restored by drugs and vitamins. This is true because, once again, it's societal stress. We do run out of neurochemicals in the brain. We do get sluggish. The book suggests choline, acetylcholine, inositol, B3, B1, and folic acid. Nutrient-wise, I would 100% endorse those nutrients, because time and time again, insomnia is a general condition that results as a shortage of these. But it also talks about hydrogen. The book suggests hydrogen. Now, we're going to get into hydrogen because it's the number 5 most widely prescribed drug in the world outside the United States right now. But we'll get into that in a little bit. I would say, personally, from my experience, that we should check out, besides the vitamins, which these are not mentioned in the book, herbs like Don Quai, Fotai, Ginseng. Herbs are very important in our diets. A lot of drugs, medicinal drugs, come from herbs. Whole, complete hormone structures, for example, are found in herbs. But when science goes in and takes the herb apart, it's no longer a natural food. It immediately begins to die. It's like if you cut your finger off and you put it up here on a platform, it may wiggle from a neurological standpoint for a few minutes or from a muscular standpoint, but then it stops. It's like some of this raw fish that you buy in the Japanese store. There's just a nervous reaction in there, but the life force is rapidly going back into the earth and the universe. People often overlook herbs. I personally love ginseng. Ginseng is a very natural, very powerful way to develop mental acuity. I've been using herbs, natural herbs, now for over 10 years, and I've had tremendous results with them. I know some of you have seen the pyramid that I wear occasionally. Well, I've been wearing that for 7 years. That's been tremendously helpful because of the way it works on the cilia in the lungs. Because when you breathe air, We're after a thing called a vitality globule, which is part of a negative ion charge, and we're rapidly depleting that today. Now, the next thing is a commentary on natural drugs versus synthetic drugs. I mean, vitamins, rather. Synthetic vitamins versus natural vitamins. And the book takes a standpoint, and this is a lot of the establishment. This is more than the book talking. This is the establishment talking. And they're saying that, hey, you know, unnatural, artificial vitamins are just as good. It cites an instance of vitamin C. It says synthetic vitamin C is better for your body than a natural vitamin C because there are agents and enzymes in the C that were used in the plant to bind the cell collagen and enzymes together in the plant. These are toxic to the body. That's not true. A natural vitamin has in something called a vitality globule, which I'm going to get into further. It's a natural life force. This is immediately lost in a synthetic. If you, how many of you are aware of the fact, for example, that between the hours of 2 o'clock in the morning and 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, we have a higher natural death rate? You familiar with that? This is because of the vitality globule, an energy that comes from the sunlight, is in its absence, it's ebb, it's ebbing away from us. The same thing is what causes the catalyst of ATP and AMP inside of a plant, which your body metabolizes. If you study a laser, for example, a laser takes energy, photons of white light, converts them into green energy, and pumps out red photons, a uniformal energy. Sunlight does the same thing. It goes into a plant, like a leaf, fortifies the plant, the natural sugars in the plant, green, chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is just like hemoglobin, except it has a magnesium ion rather than an iron atom in its nucleus. The chlorophyll then transforms this life-giving force into our bodies, into the cells, the nucleus of our cells, and our bodies then utilize this energy on and on and on and on and on. But man lives in total violation with nature. And man wants to cheat. He's so hung up in form that he wants to synthesize himself, his cells. And that's where the fun begins. A few years ago, the FDA, in the FDA register on 14th December 1972, said that vitamin D causes hypervitaminosis in children. This was based on a UK study in England. And the kids were coming down with rickets. And they called it infantile hypercalcemia. But what the FDA didn't realize is that vitamin D was a synthetic that they were giving these kids, and they were putting it in foods over there. As soon as they took out the vitamin D2, which is a synthetic vitamin D, and put a natural form of vitamin D in, the rickets disappeared. Vitamin D is a good example, and it's one they're going to play with. The establishment likes to play with things. Vitamin D is so important because we don't get enough of it from the sunlight today. We're supposed to be able to process on 1 square inch of skin 18 international units of vitamin D. If we don't have vitamin D, we can't absorb calcium. The first thing that happens when we start losing our calcium is the heart is affected. Why? Because it has to steal the calcium from the bones, and the entire body is then affected. So vitamin D, even though people don't talk about it like E and A and lecithin, is a very important one. And you can't synthesize vitamin D2 and stick it in your body because it's a drug and it doesn't work, and there's already statistics to prove that it doesn't work. Dr. Isabel Jennings of the University of Cambridge in England has written a book called Vitamins and Endocrine Metabolism, Springfield, Illinois. She reports in many cases synthetic vitamins are now available, which may be identical with natural occurring substances or only closely related. The close relations, although useful in many ways, pose some problems, in which they have only a fraction, whether a large or small, of the biological activity of the natural product. They may substitute for several, but not all, of the functions of their natural counterparts. So it is essential to use extreme care in their use. Okay? Any more need be said on that? It's like Betty Lee always says, well, here's a test tube with a synthetic in it. Let's see the blade of grass. Make one of those. We haven't come close. Now then, chapter 12 goes into regeneration, born-again limbs. And it's going into some DNA and genetic research that's taking place now in life extension. It is possible to understand and regenerate limbs. Matter of fact, sometimes small children will lose part of a finger and it will grow back. We have other bodies of energy that we've got to address and understand. For example, when you chop a lizard's tail off and you take a picture of it with a Krillin photography camera, what happens is you can see this phantom tail effect or phantom leaf effect if you destroy a leaf. The lizard hasn't been programmed by society, the mental body of energy, not to be able to grow this limb and organ back. So as a result, grows back a tail. Okay? When we in science, on the orthodoxical level, the front runners in science already know about the etheric body. The etheric body is what holds a glass together. The etheric body is what leaves a glass when someone sings a musical note, making that glass disappear and go away into the ozone, okay? So when we get into higher body and energy fields, we're going to know about this. Now, the next thing it talks about is cross-linking. Cross-linking is when sulfur-hydrogen bonds, the sulfur-hydro group, in proteins are oxidized. They can react with another sulfur-hydro group in the same of another protein molecule to form a disulfide. Now what that means is like you can take a raw, natural, pliable form of rubber and heat it up and it becomes vulcanized, hard. This is what happens when our bodies are subjected to internal chemicals, junk foods, and then catalyzed by what we call toxic sunlight. Okay? Now one of the things that Dirk suggests is to deal with the skin problem is to take food FDA dye number 2, red dye number 2. Okay, now that's what he takes. And what happens is it gives you, if you take too much, the book cautions, if you take too much, you're going to have orange skin. And if you want it by prescription, it's called Orthobronze, and you get it up in Canada. So now, the desire of the body, the form, is to now encapsulate itself in a pretty skin. So we shoot ourselves up with FDA dye number 2. Now, you got to realize we're talking about the number 2 bestseller in the United States right now. And a lot of folks are going to be doing this. So we're going to have the plastic group and the living group here. Society is starting to take a division. Now, the book talks about para-ammonic benzoic acid, PABA. That's good. That's a very good, that's a B vitamin within a B vitamin. So there's a good and a bad. He's like black and white. I like the book because it's stimulating. It makes you think. You make the wrong move, you're going to be frozen. Now, chapter 7 talks about free radicals. Free radicals, the main cause of them, or the attention of those, was brought to us back during the nuclear reaction days. I used to work at the University of Michigan on nuclear experiments. I know what free radicals are all about. It says that vitamin C and E are good antioxidants. Free radicals can cause blood clots by blocking prostacyclin, cross-linking, pigment accumulation, causes breakdowns in plastics, rubber, petroleum, food, and living tissues. It says take vitamin A, C, E, B1, B5, B6, cysteine, and tyrosine. This is okay. But once again, now be careful when you start taking amino acids en masse. Because the body needs all 8 essential amino acids to digest the one, like if you're taking a blast of phenylalanine, it's going to rob the body, other functions in the body, to make one thing happen. So you got to be careful. It's a short-term effect. But there's a thing, when you go up on drugs, and I've never seen an exception to this, you go down afterwards. And it's like skiing, you know. You can ski moderately along and go up and down and take the hills and the knolls and keep a moderate pace. Or you can go straight up the side of Mount Everest and straight down the other side. It depends on what your personal path or evolution is all about. Now, the next thing I find extremely fascinating, because what Dirk is doing now is he's taking large amounts of BHT and BHA. And what they do is they take a teaspoon of it, they mix it with aerosol-type cooking oils, a whole teaspoon, that's 100 times over what the FDA says is the maximal allowable dosage. And they dump that in their eggs, they dump that in their meat, and they cook it with this, with the BHT. And what happens is it lowers the free radicals, keeps the cholesterol levels down. Okay, now here's what I like to do. Those of you that are not very science or biochemically oriented, let's take BHT and break it down and see what it is, okay? BHT stands for butylated hydroxyl toluene, okay? Now, what this does is, first of all, let's take the word apart and understand it. Butyl means any four univalent radicals. That means that butyl is a source of a chemical that has free electrons that will bond up with peroxides, free radicals, and cause another element to happen, supposedly doing something good for you, okay? Now let's take butylate. Butylate is to introduce the butyl group into a compound, okay? Now hydroxyl, the middle part of the word. Hydroxyl is a univalent group of radical consisting of hydroxides, oxygen, and alcohols, glycols, and phenols, mostly petroleum byproducts. Now, toluene is the last part of BHT. Toluene is a liquid aromatic hydrocarbon, C7H8, which resembles benzene but is less volatile, flammable and toxic. It is produced commercially from light oils, from coke oven gas and coal tar, and from petroleum. It is used as a solvent in organic synthesis and as an anti-knock agent for gasoline. It's great to hold things. And so if you want to become plasticized, and definitely it will freeze for a while the body. But there's something else going on in the body besides this rigidity, this urge and this desire to maintain our looks and our physical beauty will not be surpassed or conquered by plasticizing yourself. The Egyptians, for example, were heavy into this, but they did it after the person was deceased. They used large amounts of tannic acid, put that in the body, put them inside the pyramid because the pyramid removes all the viruses from the body, and let them sit for a long time. This preserved the body for 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years. They figured in the second coming around, they could use these bodies over again. Now, I want to say one thing about pyramids at this point, because if you wear one, it doesn't mummify you. All it does is allows, for example, a piece of fruit to dry out without the interference of bacteria. Now, Chapter 9 goes into the decline of the brain's chemical messengers. It suggests phenylalanine or tyrosine in large quantities, diopid, vasopressin. Now, let's look at vasopressin, which is called diopid. It's by Sandoz. I've tried it. It doesn't do that much for me. It might do something for someone. But why not look at what a protein is and a neurohormone is first and understand what's going on? First of all, let me look over here so they can get this on tape.
Try it in the book?
No, this is mine. This is out of my book, Death of Ignorance, now. I have to, you know, refer to my own book at this point. We are minerals. 5% of our body is minerals, controls 95% of our metabolism. We're suffering right now because, as the Global 2000 report says, our soil has been stripped of minerals. Minerals contain intelligence. All atoms in the body have intelligence. This body is walking a path. It will go back into the soil. The minerals in the soil will learn from the experience of this body. The next time a body comes again, and on and on and on, we evolve. Why do you think consciousness is evolving? That's why the textbooks are no good in schools today. Minerals contain intelligence. And when they're inside the body, that's where the intelligence begins to come from. They're divided into three sets of vibrations: the low frequency, the middle frequency, and the high frequency. The low frequency is iron, copper, responsibility, metabolic functions. Middle frequency are reflective metals,
silver, chromium, causes you to reflect, gives you feelings in the parasympathetic. You can feel yourself. And finally, the highest set of minerals is gold, vanadium, titanium, gives you the spiritual thought. Take those away, and immediately the body, the neurotransmitters are going to decline, and you're going to have to look for drugs, because spiritually, when something is gone, it's a lonely, lonely feeling. Minerals go with enzymes. Okay, enzymes. Enzymes are pH factors in our body. We're doing everything utterly possible on this planet today to destroy our enzymes. Processing food. Enzymes like to see 90 degrees to 120 degrees. They don't like to see frozen food. They don't like to see boiled food. They don't like to see cooked food. Raw, natural food is very important for enzymes. We're doing everything we can to destroy our soil. Our pH level, our soils is shot. The rain that comes down is well in the acidic range most of the time. So where do we get enzymes from? Vitamins are important. Vitamins are combinations of enzymes and other forms of nutrients. These, in turn, form proteins. Proteins arrange themselves in polypeptides, which then form hormones and neurohormones. So, the drug companies are down here synthesizing these hormones with chemicals. For example, vasopressin. Vasopressin is lysine and arginine. You're better off taking the natural aminos and letting your body build its own hormones than taking external hormones. Why? Because when you take external hormones, you're a drug addict. Why? Because the manufacturing process in the body is now bypassed. And when you bypass something, we are here to work. Our bodies are here to work. And if you stop working, you get lazy. Your body is the same way. So if you start taking the drugs, you're going to require the drugs. And when the drug companies get hold of you, then you've sold your soul at that point. Okay? It's the beginning. Now, it also suggests Diener and Parlodel. These are two other drugs. As a matter of fact, Hydrogen, Diener, and Parlodel are all catecholamine nerve transmitters, all of these. Okay, now let's talk about some of these drugs. We're getting into the ergot family. Okay, now, in the very beginning, the dedication, part of the dedication, is to Dr. Albert Hofmann, a visionary pharmaceutical chemist who invented Hydrogen and a host of other modern wonder drugs. Okay, we're talking about, primarily in this book here, the ergot family. How many of you know what ergots are?
Well, we'll just have to leave it there. We'll continue with this next week. Hope you enjoy it. And until then, we are...